Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Managing Time by Harvard Business Review, narrated by James Edward Thomas. Publisher's note, this audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchased this audiobook from to request the material.
You have too much to do in too little time. It's frustrating and stressful and has a big impact on your success. Although you can't magically add more hours to the day, you can learn to manage your time, however limited it may be, more carefully and efficiently. This book will quickly teach you the basic steps and tools you can use to take control. Logging your time. Prioritizing your responsibilities. Developing a plan to reallocate your time to reflect your goals. Managing deadlines. Creating detailed, task-oriented to-do lists. Avoiding interruptions and distractions. Why manage your time? Why do I never seem to have enough time to get everything done? Do you find yourself asking that question frequently? If so, you probably have a lot going on. There are your daily tasks and the big projects that your boss has put on your plate, not to mention new skills that you want to learn and bigger goals that you'd like to accomplish. You're juggling a wide range of tasks, responsibilities, projects, and deadlines. You're swamped, and you're not sure if you can pull it all off. There's too much to do. Too little time. There are only so many hours in a work week, after all. When time is scarce and progress is slow, it can be overwhelming. And sometimes you just can't get everything done, and you miss a deadline or let a project fall away unfinished. There's nothing more to do about it, right? Wrong. Whether you're new to the work world or a veteran coping with a long-standing time management issue, you can learn to prioritize, to plan, to be more efficient, and to align your schedules with your goals. The supra-organizational impulse need not be coded into your DNA. Time management is a skill that you can learn and continue to fine-tune with practice. You just have to be disciplined. There isn't a one-size-fits-all approach to time management, since we all have different schedules, responsibilities, and personalities. There are some best practices, however. This book will walk you through those basic tried-and-true methods of getting your schedule back on track, and we'll do it fast, so you don't waste any more time. You'll learn how to do the following. Assess how well you're spending your time now, uncovering the hidden time sinks in your day. Clarify your goals so you can make sure to work toward them. Reallocate your time to prioritize the work and goals that are important to you and your organization. Overcome the common obstacles that keep you from doing the work you should be doing. Once you get the hang of it, you'll find managing your time more deliberately to be well worth it. You'll have time and energy to focus on the skills, tasks, and projects that are most important to you, your boss, your team, and your organization. Let's get started. Assess yourself. The first step to effective time management is self-awareness. You probably have a general sense of what types of tasks you perform on a daily basis and how much time you spend on each. But perception isn't always reality, and you may overestimate or underestimate, and any blind spots you have won't help. Those miscalculations can add up and leave you with an incomplete picture of where your time is going. That's why it's important to actually track your time. For a week or two, keep a log of the tasks that you perform and how much time you spend working on each. This chapter will show you how to put together a tracking plan and log that works for you. It's true that time tracking can feel like busy work, but the minutes you spend on it can be kept to a minimum, and it's the best way to get a clear and detailed account of how you spent, and wasted your time. The more aware you become of your habits, the more data you will have to make better time management plans and decisions going forward. State your objectives. Before you begin tracking your activities, identify the reason you're going through this exercise. What do you want to accomplish by better managing your time? This question may seem too simple to spend much time on. You don't have any time after all. But it's important because your answer will inform your efforts and serve as your metric for success. If you know where you want to end up, it's a lot easier to figure out how to get there. Your goal could be personal or professional. You may have a new project that you want to make time for, a skill you want to acquire, or a performance metric your boss wants you to reach. Or you may want to stop missing deadlines set by your colleagues or by your manager. Perhaps you want to stop feeling so much pressure to stay late and work when you could be home with your family. It may be a combination of these. Just make sure that your own goal, as you state it, matches up with those that your manager has set for you. Break down your responsibilities. You'll want to make the time tracking process as simple, painless, and manageable as possible. To do this, break down your job duties into broad categories. For example, personal growth, employee management, core responsibilities, administrative work, and then track the amount of time that you spend doing the tasks in each category. It's easier and more efficient than logging every single task that you spend time on. You can also break down your duties along other lines, depending on the types of problems you face. If you work in a deadline-intensive environment, for example, you could break down your workload into short-term, long-term, and urgent tasks, or by priority level, high, medium, low. We'll assume you're using the broad category method for the sake of this book, but any of these will work. While it's more labor-intensive, it may be beneficial to track your activities at a more detailed level for a week or two. You'll put more time into the tracking, but you'll be rewarded with more pockets of inefficient time that you uncover as a result of that detailed accounting. If, on the other hand, there's one category that's been a pain point for you, say, you seem to be spending an inordinate amount of time on administrative tasks, you may want to track only that category. Here are some typical categories to track. Core responsibilities. These are the day-to-day tasks that make up the crux of your job. For a book editor, for example, core responsibilities include editing manuscripts and corresponding with authors. If you were at a party and someone asked you what your day-to-day work entails, what would you say? The types of activities you would describe are most likely your core responsibilities. Personal growth. This category consists of the activities and projects that you find valuable, meaningful, and fulfilling, but that may not be part of your everyday responsibilities. It could be a big project you've taken on, or a skill you'd like to learn. In a perfect world, most people would choose to devote a lot more time, focus, and energy to these activities because they contribute most to their career and personal development. If you're feeling in a rut career-wise and aren't progressing as fast as you'd like, this is the best category to track. Do the same if you want to carve out time to learn a new skill. Managing people. Do you have any direct reports? Do you work collaboratively with colleagues? Lead a team? If so, the amount of time that you spend managing people, that team, your colleagues, even your superiors, should be logged here. If you feel that people issues are taking up a large chunk of your time, you could break this category down into smaller subcategories, such as managing up, your boss and other superiors, managing across, your peers, and managing your direct reports. Administrative tasks. These are the necessary chores you perform each day: emails, timesheets, expense reports, approving invoices, and so forth. Crises and fires. Interruptions, urgent matters, unplanned meetings, last-minute issues that need to be dealt with right away can sabotage even the best time management plans. That's why they're particularly critical to track. Although you won't ever be able to anticipate when they're going to happen, if you can identify some patterns, for example, that you spend 5 hours a week on average putting out fires, you can plan accordingly. Free time. This may not be an official part of your duties, but everyone needs to take breaks from work. Lunch, a walk, a coffee pit stop, a chat with a coworker, personal email, the internet. In small doses, these can unclutter your mind and even increase collaboration and productivity. But if you're not careful, these brief respites can add up. As you break down your responsibilities, think carefully about what a typical day looks like at your job. You may find that you want to supplement or replace some of the categories above with some that are more specific to your role. Track your time. Once you have your categories in place, you can build your time tracking tool. If you're a pen and paper type of person, the tool described below should work well for you. If you're more digitally oriented, there are a host of time tracking programs and apps that make the process simpler by doing most of the work and math for you. Either way, the same principles are at work, and it's important to understand them. Whether you decide to track one category or 15, it's important to be as diligent as possible. Log every hour. As you begin, you will want the most accurate and detailed data possible. Frankly, this can be a pain. Nobody wants to take time out of their busy schedule to remind themselves of how busy they are. But the more effort you put into time tracking, the more confident you'll be in your results, and the more likely that you'll find a solution to your problem. Here's how to build your time tracking tool. Number one, at the very start of a work week, create a time chart as in Table 1. Devote a row for each day of the week and a column for each broad category. Number two, just after you complete a task, write down how long it took you to finish it. If you spent an hour on Tuesday morning responding to emails, for example, record that in the administrative tasks column, and so on. Number three, at the end of each day, take 5 minutes or so to tally the total amount of time that you spent on each activity. Do the same at the end of the week as well. Number four, next, calculate the percentage of your work week that you spent on each activity. Number five. Finally, visualize the results by creating a pie chart, Figure 1. You easily can do so using Excel's chart functions. You'll be able to see which activities are taking up the biggest chunk of your time. Examine your results. As you go, be on the lookout for patterns and habits. Identifying these is the point of the exercise. Most likely, your results don't align with the objectives you outlined initially. Maybe you'll realize that you're spending much more time on administrative tasks than you thought you were, wasting too much time socializing with colleagues, or devoting far less time developing a new strategy for your business unit than you'd like. Perhaps you thought you weren't spending that much time on a particular category, but you really are. Or it could be the other way around. You bemoan how much time you spend on a particular task, but you've just realized that it's not that much compared with your other categories. You may find that you're spending more time than you expected on non-work-related activities. You may also have uncovered some more nuanced patterns and habits as well. Say you tend to unwind for 30 minutes after a meeting, or you often get drawn into overly long conversations by a chatty colleague, or your productivity tends to tail off each day around 3 p.m. Recognizing patterns, large and small, will inform the kinds of changes you will make in how you spend your time. If you have the flexibility, you can use this data to make more creative and well-informed decisions about what to do with your time. Even if you have little to no control over your day-to-day schedule, it can help you structure a get-real conversation with your manager. Numbers help. If you can show her that you are spending 10 hours a week on a task that isn't a strategic priority, she may be able to help you shift your responsibilities. Unearthing these issues means that you know where to shift your priorities and where to make improvements. Now, you need a plan to help make that happen. Develop a plan. In the next stage, the planning stage, you'll take what you learned from time tracking and develop the plan you need to spend your time more wisely in the future. Reclaim your time. You now have a good idea of which kinds of work are taking the most and the least of your time, and a general sense of how those realities measure up against the goals you've set. The next step is to find more time to spend on your highest priority activity. Say your goal is to improve your people management, but your time tracking metrics reveal you've been spending only an hour per week on people management related tasks, not nearly enough. To meet your goal, you'll need to devote more time, energy, and resources to it. But how much? 3 hours? 5? Start by thinking about what tasks you'll need to perform in order to reach your goal. You will probably want to interact often with your 8 direct reports. One way to do this is to schedule weekly half-hour check-ins with each of them for a total of 4 hours. You may also want to think more seriously about planning some training for them that will probably take another half hour per week. Next, figure out where you'll get those extra 3.5 hours. Chances are that you don't have that much free time available, so you'll have to spend less time doing other things. Identifying where to cut can be tricky. You'll want to make the right trade-offs. Even though your overall objective is to spend more time on your most important activities, you may not have that many low-value tasks to jettison. Of course, you can free up some time by cleaning up some of the bad habits, inefficiencies, and time sinks that you uncovered when tracking your time, such as those 30 minutes you use to unwind after meetings. But some decisions may be more difficult, requiring you to compromise or revisit your goals if you can't find enough time. Most likely, it's going to take some work to figure out. But take your best guess. You can lock in a more realistic number when you take a closer look at the rest of your job categories, which we'll cover next. Create a big picture vision. The next step is to apply this process of reallocating time more broadly to your other job categories, which will require some prioritizing of your tasks. You'll also put some interim goals in place to ensure your success. This may seem like overkill, especially if redistributing your time to your highest priority activity was a straightforward process, but it's worth the effort because it's rare that your top priority category is the only one you need to attend to. Here's how to do it. Prioritize. First, rank all of your time-tracked categories in order of priority, by how important they are, not the amount of time you're currently spending on them, and place them in the far left column, highest on top, lowest on bottom, as shown in Table 2. Allocate time. Now, determine how much time you can spend on each category. You've already done this for your highest priority category. Moving down the list, allocate time to your other categories as well. Of course, you only have so many hours in your week. If you add a few hours to one category, you'll need to take them away from another. If you're very busy, you might only be able to adjust your time allotments by a few hours or so. Even that will help. This step may take you a few rounds to get right. As you review your list, you may realize that you'll need to devote more time to some categories than you'd anticipated. In that case, lower your time allocations in one or more other categories to make up the difference. If you're lucky, you may discover that you can devote less time to something. Then simply allocate the extra time to one of your highest priority categories. Note also that your highest priorities, no matter how important they are, will probably take up only a small fraction of your schedule. That's okay. The objective isn't to spend the majority of your time on these tasks, it's to find enough time to ensure that you reach your goals. Finally, give yourself some breathing room as you build out your schedule. You may want to save a few hours each week to deal with unanticipated activities, such as lunch with a former colleague who's in town. Establish interim goals. Once you have reallocated your time, it's useful to set goals, interim milestones, in each of your job categories. What do you need to accomplish in a month, quarter, or year? Make sure that these goals match up with any that your manager has made for you, as you did when considering your overall goals at the beginning of this process. Save your most ambitious goals for your high priority categories, since you'll want to devote the bulk of your time, focus, and energy to them. It's still useful to set goals for your other categories as well, however. They'll keep you focused and motivated. Identify key tasks. List the tasks that you'll need to complete in order to achieve those goals and place them in the next column. If you know the specific steps that you plan on taking, you're more likely to meet your goals. Having more actionable tasks will make it easier to hold yourself accountable. You either complete them or you don't. There's no fudging it. Table 2 is an example of what a big picture vision should look like. Your job categories, time allocations, goals, and key tasks will probably differ from the ones shown here. But if you follow the basic steps described above, you'll have no trouble mapping out a realistic and attainable plan of your own. Do a reality check. Your goals and time allotments may seem reasonable on paper, but once you get into the flow of a work week, you may find that they're unrealistic. Perhaps you failed to account for just how much time you spend on a particular task, or how long it takes you to transition between activities. Or maybe you even forgot about a category that doesn't come up very frequently, such as a quarterly report or annual performance evaluations. The next chapter will show you how to put your plan into action, but as you do so, it will be important for you to closely track your progress by continuing to track your time for a week or two. Depending on what you discover, you may need to tweak your time allotments, adjust your goals, or both. Don't worry, that's par for the course. Just start at the bottom of your list with your low-value tasks and see if you can scale down your goals. You can't do everything, so don't spread yourself too thin. The purpose of time management isn't to find ways to do more work. It's to get the right work done while working at a consistent and comfortable pace. The more realistic, reasonable, and attainable your plan is, the more successful you'll be at managing your time. Execute your plan. Time boxing. You've tracked your time and you've developed a detailed plan to spend it more wisely. The next step is putting your plan into action and sticking to it. You'll do this using a tool called time boxing. Execution is by far the hardest part of the time management process. When you're juggling a wide range of tasks, goals, responsibilities, meetings, and deadlines, it's not easy to stick to a plan, no matter how carefully crafted it is. But if you take a more disciplined, thoughtful, and organized approach to your daily schedule, it is possible to stay on track. Time boxing basics. Time boxing is a planning tool that's a cross between a calendar and a to-do list. It involves breaking down your schedule into a number of small time periods, say in half hour, hour long, or 2 hour long chunks, and then slotting tasks into each chunk. It's like scheduling meetings with yourself. Set the agenda, set the time, and show up on time prepared to work. One of the benefits of time boxing, other than forcing you to be realistic about what work you can accomplish when and making sure you have the time to do it, is that it helps you group similar tasks so that you can take advantage of any efficiencies. Think about a trip to the grocery store. If you had a list of 25 items, meat, milk, vegetables, cereal, cheese, yogurt, rice, coffee, etc., you wouldn't zigzag from aisle 1 to aisle 15, then aisle 2, aisle 9, aisle 5, and back to aisle 15. You'd separate the items based on their proximity to each other, and then work sequentially from one end of the store to the other, picking up 2 or 3 items from each aisle as you go. Typically, when it comes to tackling our to-do lists for work, we're more like that zigzagging shopper. We don't always go about things as rationally as we would if we stopped to plan. Instead, we blindly attack whatever's on top of that arbitrarily constructed list without thinking about the most logical and efficient sequence. We fail to take into account the value, importance, and priority level of every task. So, like the shopper, we end up zigzagging from one activity to the next and back again. Time boxing prevents that kind of randomness and instead brings the following. Accountability. Scheduling in advance when and how long you're going to work on a task gives you the best chance of making sure you'll devote the right amount of time to your most important activities. If you commit a schedule to paper, you're more likely to follow it. Efficiency. Grouping similar tasks together will allow you to get more done in less time because you won't be shifting mental gears between tasks. Time awareness. You'll be more focused and productive when you know you're on the clock, and you'll be less likely to give away that time to a last-minute meeting or a chat with a coworker. Healthy pressure. When you know you only have a set period of time to accomplish something, you're more likely to push ahead and get it done. If you're driven by deadlines, this method gives you more of them. Focus. An hour you intend to spend on a task can quickly turn into 2 or 3 if your energy levels go down or if you're distracted. But when you set time constraints, you're more likely to keep your attention on the project at hand. Effectiveness. Do you spend too much time tweaking emails or slide decks once they're essentially complete? There's nothing wrong with trying to get something right, but sometimes good enough is good enough. Setting a time limit will help quell the urge to spend too much time on minor, inconsequential details and force you to see the big picture instead. You can adapt time boxing to your needs and preferences. If your job has a lot of moving parts, that is, if you need to manage a lot of competing responsibilities, deadlines, and projects, then you may find that you'll want to plan every task, activity, and project. If your schedule is relatively stable, you may choose to use it just for specific categories of work, say, to block off time for administrative tasks. Setting up your time boxes. Here's how to create your time boxing system. Table 3 shows an example. Number 1. Review your week. One day a week, say Friday afternoon or Monday morning, review the week ahead. Deadlines, commitments, meetings, tasks. Take an inventory of everything that you need to accomplish. Number 2. Prioritize the items on the list. Put the deadline-sensitive tasks first. your goal-oriented tasks second, and then schedule these around your
Sample complete. Ready to continue?